My brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning's message is based upon the epistle lesson, actually verses 17 through 24, I believe. No, 22. And these are good passages for me to get into trouble once again. So if you have any questions to ask afterwards, please feel free to speak to me, okay? And this is the reason why. I'm going to start out by asking you this question. There's a saying that goes, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Have any of you ever heard that before? Yeah. Okay. What is really the basis behind that? Well, you see, you can pick your friends, okay? You can pick those people who are like you, who you like, who maybe have your same interests, you know, whatever the case may be. And those people that you don't particularly like, well, you can always go right around them and just ignore them, right? Yeah, that's the way to go. But now when it comes to family, it's a different story, isn't it? Because world. In every family, let's face it, I don't know, at least in mine, there are a few, maybe one or two, maybe a few more, that are a little bit different, okay? Maybe get on your nerves a little bit, okay? Maybe some that are in your family that are considered, you know, like, quote unquote, the black sheep, you know? Some in your family that, oh my gosh, I just don't want anything to do with them. I don't know if you have any in your family. I know that in my family, there's a few that I just think are plain stupid, okay? That's all there is to it. But they're family, right? Right. Still related with them. I could try to cut them out of my family, but guess what? They're still family, okay? We're still one by flesh and blood. Today, in this epistle lesson, Paul makes a very, very interesting comment. He talks about the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this letter to the Ephesians, he's basically writing to the Gentiles. And you see, he says, consequently, at one time, you who were far off, okay, that's the Gentiles, and those that were near, that was the Jews, okay, there was a lot of hostility between you. And that's really true, I gotta tell you that. Because, first of all, the Gentiles really did not like the culture of the Jews because it was too constrictive. And on the other side of the coin, the Jews did not like the culture of the Gentiles because it was way too free, okay? So there was a lot of arguing that would go along. On top of it, you had this problem of what they would call the Judaizers, Christian Jews who would come to the Gentiles and demand that if you're really a real Christian, then you're going to adopt all of the Jewish traditions and customs, etc. That'll make you a true Christian. Well, Paul comes along and he says to them, guess what, people? Jew, Gentile, I don't care. You are one. You are united as one people in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one people is very interesting. Because you see, that term one means that there is a very strong, personal, interpersonal, intimate relationship among all of God's people, all Christians in Christ's kingdom. Whether you like it or not, you're one with me. You could hate my guts, you're still one with me. You might not like what I say, you're still one with me. And guess what? I might not agree with you, but you know what? You're one with me. Maybe sometimes I would like to just let that hair go. You are still one with me. We are one together under Jesus Christ. How can this be? Paul wrote that the reason that this came about is because of the fact that one time, all of us, every one of us, were totally, absolutely, 100% separated from God. And that separation was due to, guess what? Sin. All mankind sins. No one does good, not a one. And it is this sin that we're told by Paul that really separates us from God, makes us enemies of God. We don't want to have anything to do with God. We would be lost forever. And we couldn't do anything about it because on our own, we cannot seek and find the real God. You know what I think is interesting, and I've always used this against atheists. I don't know if it's the right way to go or not, but going as far back as you can in history, every civilization has at least acknowledged that there is some sort of God, gods, or some divine beings up there, okay? Every one of them, okay? The interesting thing to note is that, you see, after the fall, when the image of God was destroyed, and you know that relationship between Adam and Eve became strained and broken, and as mankind grew and went this way, everybody kind of went their own way. Well, they didn't know who God was. They didn't know God. And so what do? You make up your own gods the way you think they should be. And that's what was happening. That's what happens now. The true God, well, yeah, he kept on revealing himself. He did so, for instance, to Noah, and he certainly did too to Abraham. So it wasn't as if he was out of the picture, no way. But you see, mankind on their own cannot find the God, true God. You and I on our own could never come to know God, the God of the Scriptures. But God, he's so loving and so merciful that he finds us. And the way that he finds us is through his beloved son, Jesus Christ. This is the miraculous thing. He comes to you. He comes to me. He comes to the world. He comes. And as God, he lives this perfect life for you and for me because we couldn't do it. We couldn't obey those laws of God. And then what does he do? He pays the ransom of our sins. See, he had to buy us back from sin and death. And what that required was his body, his blood, his death on the cross. And here it is, Jesus, God, true man, and he willingly does it. He willingly goes to the cross. He pays that ransom to free us. And simply through this faith that God gives us, we're forgiven. And you know what then? You and I, through Christ, become one with God. I want you to think about that. One with God. You have a personal, intimate relationship with God the Father. You don't need me. You don't need anybody else to go and speak to God. God doesn't need anybody to come to you. He's given it through word and sacraments. That's the relationship. You are one with God. And you receive his blessings, the forgiveness and eternal life. But you see now, because you are one with God, and because all of us have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're one with God, which means, guess what? We are one with one another. We are united as one body under the reign of Jesus Christ in his kingdom. And I can't tell you, according to what Paul says, how vital this is. Because you see, I think that sometimes we in the church, and I'm just as guilty, we in the church, we can certainly condemn and judge people who are one with God because they don't fit our thinking, because they don't do what we want them to do or what we think they should do. It amazes me that in the church where people could be one, literally one with one another because they're one with Christ, they can't talk to one another. They can't even say hello because they're angry with one another for things that took place 40, 50 years ago. They probably don't even know what the heck they're angry about anymore. I have had congregations where I have served as vacancy pastor that have ongoing conflict for 150 years because the two families who were the founders of that congregation had a conflict. And 150 years later, that conflict still existed, but they had no idea what it was that started the conflict in the first place. One. And, you know, we're so easy to condemn because maybe we don't always like lifestyles or the way they're living. You know, the scriptures say, sexually immoral, you know, this, that, everything else. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And right away, because we don't know, you know, we don't know what's in their heart, okay? We don't know whether or not they're believers. We condemn them. They're automatically going to hell. You know, folks, do you know in the midst of this long list of quote-unquote sexual sins, of who's not going to get into the kingdom of God, do you know what's stuck right in the middle? Gossip. 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 Boy, we ignore that one, don't we? Why? Because it hits us. It hits us right here. And I got to tell you something. In reality, you and I can do more damage than anything else in this entire world gossip than with anything else. That's why James said that the tongue is the most evil part of mankind. Do you know that you could kill my reputation? When I leave here and you go outside, and all you have to do is say sexual harassment and I'm through. That's how the tongue, gossip, can destroy. Gossip about people who 40, 50 years ago. Who cares? What about now? If they believe, they're one with us. We're one together. It's so hard to live as one. I know that because we're all different. We have our different ideas, our different beliefs, etc. But if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're part of this kingdom of God. We are one. One with one another. And Paul, therefore, encourages us to strive to live as one together. To love, forgive, etc., etc. Of course, we can't do that ourselves. I can be very unforgiving. Okay? There's still people that I have a hard time forgiving. There's a guy I know somehow, I better watch what I say here, but in Staten Island, who's part of the mob, and after a wedding that he thought I did such a wonderful job, he just told me, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And he emphasized the word anything. And you know, when he said anything, I was thinking, you know, there's a couple of people I'd like to have whacked right now, you know? Still think that, folks, you know? We can't develop oneness on our own. But what we need to do is to go back and remember who we are. We're all sinners. And each and every sin, no matter what it is, you know, they're all the same before our Lord. We might divide them up. They're all the same before the Lord. But the Lord loves us so much that he gave Christ so that through faith in Christ, we could be one with our Lord, one now and forever. And the only way then that we can begin to be one with one another is by going back and remembering the oneness that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that I myself may always remember this oneness. And when I stray from this oneness, which I do all the time, go back to the one with whom I'm one with, God, who's made me one. And I pray that you always do the same. Because you see, as we live as one, we become more of a beacon of love, a beacon of God's light, of the salvation that Jesus offers everyone. Everyone. No exclusions. No exclusions. Wouldn't that be great? May God grant that. Amen.